All right. Welcome, welcome, welcome. I am so excited to talk to you all tonight. Definitely welcome to creating your first or next community-based coaching program. My name is Natisha Willis, and I like to say that I love marketing. But even more than that, I love coaching. So I'm so very excited to speak with you tonight about kind of the quickest ways to go ahead and create your first or next community program, as well as help you create a simple, very simple, three-step marketing or networking strategy that works. And in addition, if you choose to email me, I can get you an outline so that you can create your curriculum. It's something that I created and I've been using with my clients so far, and they love it. So let's start with, what is a community-based coaching program? As you may already guess, it's a coaching program that is based in your local community. I got into community-based coaching because I have always been a community person. I thoroughly enjoy volunteering, and I think if you're on this call, I'm probably in a similar company. So you're probably enjoy volunteering. You enjoy knowing people in your local community. You enjoy people knowing you. and you enjoy being a pillar in your community, someone who people can go to. I also, because I enjoy marketing, I also enjoy online marketing. And so it wasn't until I really stepped off the internet that I was able to identify huge needs that were offline as it related to coaching. And so what I did was I basically just created a community program related to what it was that I was doing, in particular marketing and branding. And I started using it with some of the clients that I was finding. And what I found is that no matter what your coaching specialty, you can create a community program. There are people in your local community who are definitely looking for the services that you have to offer. And if you're anything like me, then 9 times out of 10, you are probably surrounded by other people in the coaching industry. And so you may falsely believe that the coaching industry is oversaturated. And so I am here to tell you that that is a myth. even though coaching is becoming a little bit more well-known, which I'm very thankful about, there are still lots and lots and lots of people, probably right in your backyard, who have no idea what a coach is or what a coach does outside of coaching a sport, other than the sport of life. So I wanted to definitely share with you basically the quickest way that I found. So with that in mind, let's go ahead and get started. So most of the time, once you are finished with your program, your coach training program, and you begin to get into marketing, if you are Googling how to start marketing your coaching practice, you probably have heard about something called the Ideal Client Avatar, or ICA. And this avatar is really, this quote-unquote avatar, is just really a profile that helps you to, like, really clearly identify who your ideal client is, just to the point where you can clearly identify his or her interests, behavior patterns, speech patterns, all of these descriptors about them. So that basically they will know and you will know as well without a shadow of a doubt that you're talking to them with your videos, with your blogs, with your copy, if you're when we're talking about the words on your website. And most of the time, the material and everything that you'll find on identifying your ideal client will tell you to look externally. They'll tell you to look at demographics. They will tell you to assign this ideal client avatar a name, identify their profession, all sorts of things. Well, I like to think of identifying our ideal clients a little bit differently. I believe that your ideal client is actually none other than, that's the drum roll, you. That's right. I think that you are your ideal client. Most of us began coaching or got into coaching because we are personal development junkies. And we love getting better at life. We love overcoming challenges, or we have overcome a specific challenge. And so because of some sort of challenge that we faced in our own lives, we decided to go into coaching so that we could then help others overcome similar challenges. Well, the program, the community-based program that you are offering, I'm going to encourage you to create it based on a challenge that you've had in the past and that you then overcame. That way, we are creating what we wished existed. So you may be asking, what does that mean? So if you are taking notes, this is where the outline comes in. So the first step that you want to do when creating your first or next community-based program is to really reflect on your life and when you overcame your greatest obstacles. I personally enjoy journaling, and so this is a great time to begin journaling or making those lists of all the things that you have overcome, some of the greatest moments, some of the things that you are most proud of for overcoming. For me, those are things like leaving an emotionally abusive relationship, living out of my backpack for a year, having the courage to buy a one-way ticket to another country and not knowing where I was going to sleep until I got there. Those don't have to be the obstacles that you overcame, but I definitely want you to reflect on some that you overcame in your own life. Next, step two, you want to identify which of those that you would have loved to have had a coach. Once you've done that, now identify which of these spaces or areas do you want to help others in. You may want to help. I have one client, she helps others, she helps women basically transition to the next phase of their lives after they divorce. And you'll notice I'm pausing because I'm in my mind, I'm assuming you're taking notes. And you may be answering these questions. The important thing that you want to remember when creating a community-based program is that you want to definitely make sure that you identify a result. Oftentimes, those of us in the coaching industry, we have a challenge sometimes, really just identifying what the end result is that we want to help people with. And so by identifying a specific situation that you yourself faced, overcame, and that you also want to then help others overcome, you come up with a very, very specific end result, something that's more specific than what we are typically hearing when we speak about coaching. And let me give you an example. Usually when I talk to new coaches, I ask them, okay, how do you help people? I typically hear the words, I help people clear blocks, or I help people get unstuck. Now, there's nothing wrong with any of those words, and there's definitely nothing wrong with that language. But what tends to happen is when you say that, the person who you're speaking to, if you don't pay attention, you'll see their eyes begin to glaze over because they have no idea what you're talking about. And so I want to make sure that doesn't happen to you. And if it has happened to you in the past, I want to help make sure that it doesn't happen to you again. So we want to make sure that we have a definite result, right? When you're creating a community-based program and you're beginning to pitch it to those in the community, that's going to be super-duper important, right, that you have a result. So, for example, if you're helping women transition to the next stage of their lives after divorce or get comfortable with being single again, right, that's a specific result. So now that you have a result in mind, the next thing that you want to do is identify, I like to say the six. So you want to list the six most important things people need to know about that particular topic. So I want to use something that I'm familiar with. I'm not exactly familiar with divorce, but I am familiar with beginning your coaching practice, right? So if I was creating a community-based program about how to launch your coaching practice, I would number 1 through 6, and I would really lay out the six things that you need to know about launching your coaching practice. And really being a CEO. I like to say being a CEO. And so once I've done that, so number one on my list, for example, would be personal finances. Number two would be branding. Number three would be marketing. Number four would be leadership development. Once you've identified each of those steps for the most important pieces that people need to know, in order to reach that end result, I think I misspoke. Actually, once you've identified those six main steps, and we can just say six, but those six main steps that you took to reach the end result, you then want to basically do a subtopic under each of those six main steps. Right? So if we're talking about launching your coaching practice, and we start with personal finances, then the next, underneath personal finances, you would see, okay, so what are the subtopics that people need to know about personal finances as it relates to launching a coaching practice, right? Hopefully this is making sense. And if it's not, we're going to have question and answer time afterwards. And in addition, like I said, I have a worksheet that I can email to you if you email me. At NatishaWillis@gmail.com. So this is basically how you create the outline for your program. And it's really simple. If you think back on when you wrote speeches or papers in college or high school, I'm not sure, graduate school, it's basically the exact same format, right? So you have the main idea, you have the supporting ideas, and then you have the subtopics underneath there. What you want to be sure of and what you want to make sure you do when it comes to creating your coaching program, you want to make sure that you also have an objective, right? And so if you're following the outline the way that I've given it to you, so you have a main idea, and then you have six supporting subtopics beneath the main idea, you've basically created a six-week program. If you only have four, then you have a four-week program. And so what you want to make sure you do for each week, you have an objective. And you have homework. When you come in as the coach, you automatically are considered the expert. It's like automatic leadership recognition. Why? Because you're the one who's teaching the class or leading the exercise. And those who are looking to learn, and it doesn't mean that you have to have everything all together and perfect in your life or in as it relates to this situation. What it does mean is that you have some information that can help people. And the people who are in the room are looking for your help. A lot of times we will pause before we get to sharing what it is that we have because we mistakenly believe that we need to be at 100% perfect in all areas before we share. And nope, that's not the truth. But then you know that already. But sometimes we kind of forget that we know that and we convince ourselves of otherwise. So having an objective, you know, basically an overarching idea of what you want your clients to walk away with, what knowledge or information, and then assigning them a homework assignment for the next week. What that'll do is help them to put whatever objective you covered into practice. Hopefully that makes sense. I love feedback. We'll be taking questions shortly. So now that you've got the overall program, the next thing that you want to make sure you do is create some sort of evaluation. Evaluations are super duper important. When you're first beginning to do your community program, it's going to be important for you as you teach your classes and as you lead your group because you want to receive feedback. You want to know what went well, what clients think could have been better, what you need to implement for next time, what kind of questions the clients had that maybe you didn't answer. Because what I have learned is that every time you do a group program, if you give and receive evaluations, every time you do it, it'll get better every single time. And the really cool thing about group programming is that even no matter how much time you spend preparing, there's always going to be something that you thought, that you think, or you forget about. And so that's why I always say it's better to, what they say that done is better than perfect, which means just get your group program out there. Just get your coaching practice started. It doesn't have to be perfect the first time around because nothing is. Nothing is perfect. Or you could think of it the other way. Everything's perfect, however it is. It's perfect for right now. And then tomorrow it'll be even more perfect because you'll improve upon it. So definitely you want to make sure you have those evaluations. So that is basically the, I like to say, the quickest way to go ahead and create your first or next community program. Reflect on your own life. Identify your greatest obstacles. Identify the result that you would like to help others reach. And then list out the steps that it took you to reach those. And there you go. Now, when it comes to marketing, my favorite subject. When you're creating a community-based program, I always say you want to start with where you are. And what that means is take a look at the organizations that you are already involved in, the places where you already spend time. For some, that may be your local church. That may be your local Kiswani's club. It could be anything. This is the beauty of creating a community-based program, because anywhere that there are people gathering in your local community, that is a space that is perfect to offer your first program. Your first program, again, does not need to be perfect. It just needs to be out there and being offered. And if you have a clear result that you're helping people to achieve, then you will have people in the room. Okay, so you want to, again, start where you are. Now, if you are not active in your local community, then now is a great time to begin networking with people in your local community. And by networking, what I really mean in this case is volunteering. Volunteering has been the number one way that I have connected with top community leaders, simply by volunteering. I am a SCORE mentor, which is part of the Small Business Administration, which basically means that I volunteer and I help people build their businesses, and I help them with marketing strategies and things like that. And I also volunteer with Junior Achievement. They have a Rising Women program here in Howard County where I live. And so once a week I go and help a group of young ladies. And I have met a ton of people that way. Typically, others who are who have their own organization. And as a result, people have asked me to come out and do things, teach classes, and lead my community program. So I'm going to encourage you to do that. Now, the best way to market, network, build a brand, all of these things are interchangeable, right? The best way that I have found, you want to talk to people one-on-one. And, of course, there are two different types of people we're talking to, right? We're talking to individuals who may directly have the issue or are people who are directly looking for the result that we're looking to offer or assist with, and then those who may not. They may simply have an audience that has the result they may have access to an audience that's looking for the result that you're looking to offer with your program. Now, if you're talking to someone who is looking for the result that you're looking to offer, there's three simple questions that you want to make sure that you ask them. Number one, what's your goal in this area? Or what are you looking to achieve in this area? And the area is going to be specific to your specific coaching practice. So if you're running a weight loss group, then you want to ask the question, what's your goal? The second question that you want to ask is basically around how will you know that you've achieved it? What results do you want to see? What feelings are you looking to have? Right? So the second question is really to get the person who you're speaking to who's looking for the result. You want to get them basically thinking about the place that they will be once they've achieved the result. The third question is directly related to your program. And it's asking would they be interested in joining a program like that, directly related to the goal that they're looking to achieve. Making sure that you use their exact words. Now, the program may or may not be completed. You may or may not have a location. Doesn't matter. This is why you want to make sure that you're talking to people all the time, no matter what. Because when they say yes, basically partnering with you and getting involved in your group program that's going to help them achieve the result that they're looking for, when they say yes, you're going to get their contact information so that when you do have all of those things solidified, the location, the time, the date, the price even, it may be free, it may not be free. But you don't need any of that information in order to talk to people about what's coming, is basically what I'm saying, right? So when you're talking to people, the point is to find, really to get crystal clear on what kind of results people are looking for and whether or not they'd be interested in joining the program. And so asking those three questions, three types of questions, what's your goal? How will you know when you've achieved it? And would you like to join a program related to achieving that particular goal? Once you ask those questions and they say yes, then you have their contact information to follow up with them so that once you have all the details, you can send them to them. You can also stay in touch with them. As long as they agree to receiving your newsletter and things like that. And that's pretty much it. You've got your community program outline. You've got a very, very, very simple way to begin marketing, which is really just talking to people one by one who are looking to resolve a certain challenge that you've already overcome and they're looking for you. And then after that, it's just a matter of finding a location. My favorite locations are free locations. So churches, halls, community organizations that often host programs, libraries, All of these spaces are typically free. If you're hosting a program, your first program, and you're not charging for it, which I personally think is a great idea, having a free program will allow you to get feedback on your program. Lots of feedback, mainly because people will come to things that are free. And you want to make sure that you get that feedback so that you can improve it. Because, again, remember, done is better than perfect. Out there, out in the world, so that someone can experience some level of transformation, change, or achieve some level, some type of result. Any of that is better than this presentation and this information that you have sitting on a shelf or in your head. So I'm going to go ahead and accept questions at this time. And you can unmute yourselves. We're going to try to go one by one. I'm not exactly sure how many people are on the line, but we're going to try to do this as orderly as possible. So if you want, if you have a question specific about your program, I would love to answer it. You can press *6 to unmute yourselves. And please let me know your name.
My name is Cynthia Banks, and I had a question.
Hi, Cynthia.
Hi there. Excellent presentation. And I wanted to ask you about, you're welcome, when you were mentioning that step three, that you may be talking to someone that may have access to an audience, what's the best ways to approach that person, that it's not an individual, it's someone who has access to an audience that's looking for the result?
So I'm really good at specifics. So what is your coaching program that you're thinking of creating?
Okay, I'm thinking of creating a community-based coaching program around entrepreneurship for underrepresented communities. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking about maybe, say, we have something called a city mission that has something for women called Laura's Home, for women that have been abused or have been homeless and they're getting another start. And it sounds like entrepreneurship is an odd choice for them, but it may not be. It just depends. And so say I wanted to talk to someone who was over that program to get an audience with that particular constituency, how would I do that?
Okay. Did I hear you say that you're looking to run an entrepreneurship program at, did you say a women's shelter?
Right. That would be one of the first clients that I would want to approach. It's really engaging women that probably never thought about doing something on their own, but they may not
maybe.
Be. I'm sorry?
I said maybe or maybe not.
Right.
So here's a question for you. Were you ever in a shelter?
No, I wasn't. But for me, I've always struggled with not pursuing entrepreneurship because of my mindset, that I was holding myself back because of things you talked about, that maybe I didn't think I was an expert in something, or you just don't look at what you've been through. I have not been in that position, but I want to really serve underserved populations. What I am envisioning is something like in third world countries where you do microloans to people and people make a living by doing things that they love. And I'm looking at people at the very bottom rungs of maybe allowing them to see another way that you can support yourself. So I've not been homeless, but I have been struggling with entrepreneurship and believe that people can do it in spite of challenges that they see that they have in front of them, that you can still do that.
Gotcha. So I would, in my opinion, the quickest way, and it may not even be the quickest way, but the most complete way to really begin building a relationship with the leader of that space would be to begin volunteering there.
Okay.
and then come in, I say, I like to call it leading with your give or leading with your gift, right? Mm-hmm. So basically coming in and serving in such a way that you're meeting a need of that space before you meet your own needs. Does that make sense?
It does, completely.
Okay. So that's what I would say.
Okay.
Yeah, if you already know that there's a space, and it sounds like you do, that you're interested in serving in a consistent capacity, which I think community programs, like volunteering is like the best way to get known in your community, right? And so
right.
If you already have a space that you're interested in, and you have built a relationship
mm-hmm.
with that space, because what you may find out, and I've done this a couple of times too, I'll go to a space and start volunteering, and I'll realize that they're not who I thought they were, and then I recognize, oh, I don't really want to do additional work here. But you may go there and it's like, oh, yeah, you all are rocking. I definitely want to do some other things here, and I want to bring some additional resources here. But it's almost like you're doing, what do they call it? It's almost like you're like spying on the organization as a volunteer first before you offer your time, talent, and treasure. I mean, you know, time is the most valuable resource we have.
Yes, it is.
So you want to make sure that you treat your time like your money. So you want to make sure that you're giving a great donation to a place, a space that's going to use it well. So I would definitely suggest start volunteering there. And then get to know the executive director that way as a volunteer and really begin building up that relationship. Because you may find that there are several women in there who are already running business. They may be doing each other's hair or nails or anything.
Exactly. I didn't think about that. That's true. Okay.
Yeah, so you're gathering intel for your own program. And really, you know, forming relationships with the women as well. You'll find that when you are doing a program inside of a community, because each of these organizations are communities within themselves. And so you'll find that once you, as a volunteer and being there consistent, you've actually become a member of the community. And so you'll find that your presentations and things that you'll have to offer, that you want to offer, will be much better attended after you have built relationships, because now you are a member of the community. You're not someone from the outside that has to do all this marketing. Right, and convincing and selling to get people in the seats.
Okay, great. Well, that helps a lot. Thank you. Appreciate that.
You're so welcome. Thank you.
Hi, hello. This is Alicia.
Hi, Alicia.
Hi, how are you? Thank you so much. This was really, really awesome and a lot of excellent information. So thank you.
You're welcome.
My community-based program that I want to do is around parenting teens.
Okay.
And my thing is I have the program and I'm going to implement more what you talked about, but it's just the closing of the deal. You know, I am an independent contractor with juvenile probation, so I work a lot with the kids and their parents. And then I'm also with the school review board, so I have a lot of connections to the area or the group of people I want to work with, but it's just getting them to see the value of that four-week program that the parents need to be a part of to get them to go, yes, I want you to do this.
So you said, let me just be clear, you said that you have a program as it relates to parenting teens?
Yes.
So your program is designed for the parents of teenagers?
Yes.
And what is the result that you are looking to achieve with that program? What will parents get after going through the program?
A better communication, a better relationship, and bringing peace back into the home.
So let me get one of those. Which one of those do you think the parents want the most, absolute most?
The absolute most, I think, probably communication.
Really?
Wait, what did I say first?
You said a better relationship with their
a
team.
A better relationship.
You said
so, yeah,
communication, and you said peace in the home.
Peace in the home. I think they would probably want peace to me.
I think so, too.
Yeah. I think they want peace, yeah. I'm thinking everything
okay.
is going to go down to peace. But, yeah, peace would be the number one thing.
Okay, so then that's how I would, number one, that's how I would name the program related to the thing that they want the most, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So I would start there. Right? Number two, you said that you don't know how to close the deal. Well, there's good news is you don't have to quote unquote close the deal, right?
Right.
Have you spoken to enough parents about what they are challenging, what they're being challenged with? And if you've created this program, I'm thinking you already did that. So if you've already created a program, if you've spoken to enough parents who do not have peace in their homes and you've identified the pieces why,
mm-hmm.
right, and you've created
right.
a program to help them achieve peace in their homes, then at the end of the program, if you have really created the program with the right people in mind, right? So
mm-hmm.
you've done enough of the research ahead of time, then it'll be a no-brainer for you to simply say at the end, and so basically, now that you've achieved this small piece of peace in your home, I have a six-month program that will, you know, whatever the next step, the next phase is. And you just really
wow.
describe the benefits of the program.
Right, and I think where I probably didn't make it clear is what I wanted to do was get my program into the juvenile probation department. So, you know what I'm saying, they have access to all those parents, and for them to kind of go, yeah, we want your program, and we'll send you all of our parents. That's where I was kind of going with it. I don't think I made that
oh,
clear.
See, I totally missed that boat.
Yeah.
I thought you were doing something for parents in particular. Okay, so... something inside the Department of Lisa, I'm going to have to be honest. I have no clue.
Because right.
that's not my area of expertise.
So
and I would be lying
like,
to tell you
right.
anything as it relates to that. That sounds like government contracts.
Well, I'm an independent contractor, so they can say, oh, hey, here's this parent workshop. You know, you guys go to it. And I want to be that workshop.
Who do you know in that space? Who's already doing workshops? In that space?
Nobody.
Who's doing something similar?
Nobody.
There are no other independent contractors doing programming.
They're doing programming, but working, getting in with juvenile probation is like a rare thing. So there's only like two of us, me and my brother. So it's really... I mean, we're in. I just need them to say, yes, this parenting program is really what we need.
I tell you what, let's take this conversation offline.
Okay.
I would love to get some more information from you because I've got a feeling you know someone or I know someone, and
okay.
we can get some more answers. But
fantastic.
Right off the top
okay.
of my head right
Great.
Now. So email me. Please,
okay.
NatishaWillis@gmail.com, and we can talk about it.
Okay, and how do you spell your first name?
N like Nancy, A, T like Tom, I, S like Sam, H like Harry, A, W, I, L, L, I, S like Sam, like what you're talking about, Willis, @gmail.com.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Licia.
Uh-huh.
Hi there. This is Anne.
Hi. You can say that one more time.
This is Anne.
Anne.
So,
hi, Anne.
Information. Hi. Very helpful. My question is, so when you first started doing these community programs or coaching programs, were you offering for free initially and then move on to like some sort of – a paying thing? Or did
yes.
you charge from the beginning?
Nope, I did. I did offer them for free just to get booties in the seats. I have found that free works, and free also helps you to get practice, right? And free also builds up your reputation. And so we want to think about the long-term game. So, yes, I did do them for free at first. And then in the last one, I would invite people to work with me. If they were interested, they could work with me one-on-one, and I would talk about what that looked like
mm-hmm.
at the end of the program.
Yeah. So do you find that, you know, sometimes the mentality is that, well, if it's free, then, you know, the audience, the participants may not take it seriously because it's free. As opposed to, like, paying a price so that they feel they're really invested financially, if not beyond.
I mean, here's the thing. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Did you get, like, a lot of people to show up initially?
Usually. And here's why. I usually get a lot of people to show up because I market. I don't market the way that most people market, right? Most people put up a flyer and then expect people to come. I market to people one by one. So before I ever market a program, I'm talking to people. I have made it a point to talk to one new person every day, no matter where I am. And so because I don't mean just talk, hi, how are you doing, but actually get, you know, really in their business and have a genuine conversation and make a genuine connection.
Hmm.
And really get really clear on kind of what they're working on in life. And typically, when I get asked questions about what other people are working on, they'll ask me about what I'm working on. And so when I tell them, usually they have some interest in what it is that I'm working on. So I stay in touch with them.
Hmm.
So I like to think of, you know, marketing, networking, all of these things really as an overall relationship-building strategy, which I do work with clients on, right, in creating their own relationship-building strategy. Mm-hmm. But my own usually takes between three and five steps that starts with the meeting and then maybe a follow-up conversation and then another follow-up conversation. So I'm always making sure that I'm staying in touch and staying top of mind. So that when I do have the program to roll out, it's not the first time that they're hearing from me.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't only meet people when I have something to offer them. And so as a result, I found that I do get really good quality people who come to my event, both paid and free.
Mm-hmm. So out of curiosity, like how many were you doing for free before you felt like, you know what, it's time to charge?
The very first one that I ran was actually, I did one. Actually, I did one. Each time that I've charged, I've done one program, and then I offer people the opportunity to do something paid. So I'll run an iteration of something.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end, I'll offer people the opportunity to work with me on a paid basis. And then I'll just work with those people.
So the initial
And then I'll do it again. So it's usually you'll have a percentage. I can't say what the percentage is because, you know,
right.
that varies based on how well you've identified.